Thank you very much, and thank you for the invitation. So, once again, the talk will start with this Borel with UCB ordering. Well, I will write it in a very little different way. So, in this talk, X and Y will always be Polish spaces. And E is an equivalence relation on X, F on Y, and of course we say that E is Borel reducible to F if and only if we can find a Borel function from F into Y such that E is the pre-image of F by F cross F. Well, there is a well-known result which says that if you take a countable collection of Borel subsets of a Polish space, then you can find a finer Polish topology which makes this Borel sets open. So we can apply this here. Just to make F continuous, and for example, if F is in some bare class gamma, then we can find a finite topology Polish on Y such that P is in gamma viewed as a subset of X equipped with sigma square. So, so this leads to the following definition. Consider gamma a bare class, and X and Y, as I said, Polish spaces, and A will always be a subset of X times Y. Here we'll take it Borel, and we say that A is potentially in gamma, if we can find a finer Polish topology, sigma and tau, on X respectively Y such that A becomes a set of gamma if you look at it in, as a subset of X equipped with sigma times Y equipped with tau. So this is a natural invariant for this quasi-ordering, because we can notice that if F is potentially in gamma, then E2 well, this notion has been used by Alain Louveau to show that the collection of sigma zero xi equivalence relation is not cofinal for this quasi-ordering, from which we can deduce that there is no maximal Borel equivalence relation. Yesterday we talked about, Alain talked about maximal sigma 1-1 equivalence relation, but there is no maximal Borel. well, sorry. Yes. So that was your original motivation to look at this notion, but more recently this notion, this motivation has been strengthened by another remark by Alain Louvot, which is the following. Consider again a subset of a product. Here we will take the product of the Cantor space by itself. Well, that is that it is no real restriction because any uncountable Borel Polish space is a Borel isomorphic to this space, so we can work in any uncountable Polish space. So you can associate to A quasi ordering in the following way. I will call it RA, and it is a relation on 2 to the omega square times 3. Well, what does it? We say that alpha beta I is RA with gamma delta J, if and only if either alpha gamma, alpha beta, sorry, is equal to gamma delta and A is less than equal to J, or alpha gamma is an A and A is 0 and J is 2. Well, the precise definition is not the most important. The most important thing that is that if A and B are reflexive, then A is less than or equal to B is just equivalent to RA is less than or equivalent to RB. So what does it mean? It means that the study of Borel quasi-orderings from the point of view of Borel reducibility is essentially the same as the study of reflexive relations, Borel relations. So in particular, the algebraic side of equivalence relations is lost. I will give you the details later because I don't have so much time.
You want to make it easy. You want mm-hmm. If you take two copies, there will be some movement from one which gives you a map F, and there will be movement of the other copy that gives you a T for the other square. I mean, you know, it would be a rectangle with action and not a square with action.
Okay, so another way of seeing this hierarchy is the following. We have the same tools than in the usual bare hierarchy, namely the countable unions and the complements, but the basic bricks are not the same. Instead of starting with the Clopen sets, we start with the Borel rectangles. So for example, what does it mean that A is potentially open? It just means that A is a countable union of AN cross BN with AN BN Borel. Well, as we will see, there are deep links between this notion of potentially gamma sets and uniformization problems. Let me mention the first one. It was a theorem proved by Kazimierzinski. But we can give another proof with this notion of potential gamma set, which says the following. We can find a copy of the Cantor set. And we can find an adjective map from P into Y, so continuous injective, such that the graph of phi is a subset of A, if and only if A is not of the form countable union of Borel rectangles. With at least one side a singleton. Okay. Well, now I will state another uniformization result, but before that I would like to give you the idea of which is actually the basic idea of this work. Okay, so we would like to understand what does it mean, for example, to be potentially closed. Okay, so what is the usual test for in metric spaces to show that set is not closed? It's just saying that you can find a sequence inside which converges to a point outside. Well, here this test cannot work just because the point outside can be made clopen. But we notice that if you have a Polish space and take a finer Polish topology on it, then the two topologies are the same on the dense G delta for the initial topology. So the idea is to replace the singletons by some objects which meet any product of two G delta, dense G delta. And an example of such an object is a graph. Is a graph of a continuous and open function with big domain and range in the sense of Baer category. So let me be more precise. What do I mean by big? So let G be a non-empty G delta subset of A. I will say that G is almost open. I will note this table. Well, this is just if G is a dense subset of an open set. So this is a big G delta. Okay. So we have the following results just to approach. What does it mean to be not potentially closed? Okay. If AN and BN are almost open, and consider continuous open maps from AN into BN. And such that the union for n strictly bigger than 0 of the graphs of Fn within A, which is, as always, a Borel subset of x times y. And the graph of F0 is in the closure of the union but not in A, then A will not be potentially closed. So now there is the question of the converse would like to get characterization. So what do we do? Okay. I need another definition to state the theorem. So the second uniformization theorem. We say that A has open projections . Well, this just means that the restrictions of the projections to A are open maps. So it seems very particular, but not so. For example, if you take any analytic subset of a product of two Polish spaces, then if you accept to change the topology, it becomes with open projections. Namely, if you take the Gandhi-Harrington topology, well, I don't want to be too specific, but because I don't have time, but I could give details about that. So it's not so particular. Okay, so now we can state the second uniformization theorem. So let A be G delta, always in X time Y, but X, Y are Polish spaces, but not only, we assume that they are perfect and zero dimensional, it just means that they have basis of the topology made of prop and set. maybe I should have said that A is not empty, and A satisfies this condition. So has open projection. So the result is that then we can find F and G, which are almost open, F which is onto continuous and open, and which satisfy the following condition, but that either the graph of A is a subset of A, but we cannot always have that. Sometimes the uniformization is in the other direction. So it's a subset of A star, which is by definition a set of YX, such that XY is an X. Well, this hypothesis pi 0,2 is useful because just consider the square of a dense countable sequence. Well, it satisfies the hypothesis and not the conclusion. So, and as I said, we can find an example where uniformization is possible in one direction and not in the other. Namely, if you consider A the set of points and compact spaces, so the points are in the Cantor space and the compact in the Cantor space too, such that X is a point of K. Well, we can check that this example shows that we cannot always have the graph of F in the usual direction. Maybe at this point I can make a digression here. As you know, probably, CH ensures the existence of a map phi from 0,1 into itself, such that E is meager, E a subset of 0,1 is meager, if and only if V has the big measure 0. So it exchanges mega sets with the big measure 0 set. And analyzing the proof of this fact together with work by Dan Moldin and Graf, we can see that such a map cannot be Borel. And even more, if you assume projective determinacy, it cannot be projectively measurable. Mm. So now we come back to this potentially gamma set and apply this result. So we have the following theorem, but before I have to fix some notation, I will call G of F, it is the, well, F is a map from X into Y, or for subset of X subset of Y, or conversely, GFF is just the graph of F if we are in the case X into Y, and it's just the star of it otherwise. So G of F is always a subset of X times Y. So now we can state the theorem. We assume that A is potentially delta 0, 3. Well, this just comes from the assumption pi 0, 2 here. And the following are equivalent. A is not potentially closed, is equivalent to the fact, to the existence of many objects. It's essentially the idea I gave before. So you can find some polyspaces Z and T. You can find Fn and Gn maybe we can take Clopen, I don't remember. Oh, to be sure I will take almost open, but I think we can take Clopen. We can take Fm as before on two continuous and open such that G of F0 is just the union of, for n strictly positive, of the graph of the Fn closure minus we can find, and we have to reduce, so we have some functions. U is from Z into X, and V is from T into Y, which are continuous, and satisfying the following conditions. Well, G of F0 gets by U cross V into the complement of A and the union gets into A. So we have a typical situation to characterize when a set is not potentially closed. Notice that we have a natural class of Borel sets which satisfy this condition, namely the Borel sets with countable sections. This is by a result of Alain Louveau. More generally, we have if A has vertical sections, in some bare class gamma, then A is potentially gamma. So in particular, if A has countable sections, there are sigma. So A is potentially a sigma, so potentially delta 0,3. Well, so we got a typical situation, but we'd like better. We'd like a typical example. So what is the idea? The idea is the following. Is to say that if a set is complicated, it is because it's more complicated than a well-known example. This is just like in Hurwitz's theorem. So let me recall you what Hurwitz's theorem is. It's a theorem of this type for the class G delta. So X is a poly space, and let B be a Borel subset of X. Then the following are equivalent. B is not G delta, if and only if. We can find a continuous map from the counter space into X, injective. Such that, well, the typical example is the essentially the rationals. But the rationals in the counter space, these are the sequences which are zero from some point on. So this is the kind of result we'd like to obtain. Okay. Well, we partially succeed. So I will give you some typical examples to show that the set is not potentially closed. So fix the usual bijection between omega and finite sequences of zeros and ones. Take empty, then zero, then one, then just no level by level. Well, we can notice that the length of P psi of n is less than or equal to n, so we can define Fn, which is C of n, and then zero, how many times? Well, n plus one times minus the length of n. And so we can define, the example will be of this type, so we let me define the functions fn. Fn, 0n, will be defined, well, the domain is very important, that's where we have to be very cautious. And this is the sequences of zeros and ones, which begin with Fn into the counter space, and to alpha you associate so the function from omega into 2, which to integer q you associate. Well, just alpha of q, if q is different from n, and 1 minus alpha of q otherwise. So the function is very simple. You just change the nth coordinate, but we've got to take care of what we put here for the domain. This is the main point. Well, I claim that this works with some restrictions. Okay, so the theorem is the following. So as here, A is potentially delta 0,3. A is not potentially closed, just means that we can find u from the Cantor space into x and v from the Cantor space into y, which are continuous. Such that, well, maybe I should have given some notation here. The reunion of the graph is just the test, so I have to give a name to it. I will call it A1. Well, the temptation is to put this. That is not true. We've got to intersect with the closure of A1. So there are two differences with the Hilbert theorem. We cannot, in general, have U and V injective. And what about the closure? I will give some details here. So let's try to take off this closure. We can almost do that if we have more restrictive hypotheses here. Namely, if A is potentially the union of a closed and of an open set. So we'll note it like that. Church is for complement and D2 is difference of two open sets. So union of a closed and of an open set. Well, for that, A is not potentially closed if and only if. As before, we can have U and V. At this time, we can have injectivity. Such that, so instead of A1, we have either either the complement of the diagonal. That's above the diagonal, the couple. So alpha is less than beta for the lexicographical ordering. Let me give another example showing that this knot extends to differences of two open sets. Well, just take D0, the couples of sequences of zeros and ones, which are different in exactly one coordinate. Same kind of idea of here. It's the countable union of graphs, and the graphs of the functions which change exactly the nth coordinate, but the domain are wider here. Well, what can we say about this set? Well, it's a difference of two open sets. It's not potentially closed because of the proposition I gave before, and it doesn't satisfy the condition 2 of the previous theorem. Even without the injectivity condition. So in particular, this shows that here we cannot take off the closure. Okay. So now let's try to generalize this result to other classes. Now I've got to talk about which classes. Sorry, Zeman talked about them yesterday. So let me recall you the definition. We work in a zero-dimensional spaces, and so let gamma be a class of subsets of zero-dimensional polyspaces. So we say that gamma is a wedge class if there is a P0 which is like this, a zero-dimensional polyspace. We can find A0, a Borel subset of P0, such that for all P polyspace like this, zero-dimensional, and for all subset of P, A is in gamma. If and only if we can find a continuous function from P to P0. Such that A reduces to A0. Okay. So let me make a few comments about this zero dimensional condition. Well, it's just to ensure the existence of enough continuous functions. You know, for example, the only continuous functions from the reals into the bare space are constant functions. So, but here is no really, it's not really a restriction because, you know, we accept to change the topology. And if you have a polished space, we have a finer zero-dimensional polished topology on it. So, okay. Before generalizing previous theorem to other classes, so I want to mention another fact, which shows that the situation is much more complicated in the with this product topologies. But I've got to give another definition. So. As we saw yesterday, this wedge ordering is well founded. So we can list for each A in the product, Borel, there exists a wedge class, which I will call it gamma A, which is unique, such that A is potentially in gamma A, and for all wedge class which is strictly contained in gamma A, then A is not potentially in gamma, this is the potential wedge class of A. We can show the following theorem, again, using this D0. It's a negative result, which says that we cannot find a class of functions such that gamma gamma A is included in gamma B if and only if there is a function F in C such that A is the preimage of B by F. So this notion of potentially gamma does not correspond to any reduction as in the classical case of wedge classes. So let's go now to this generalization. Well, I talked before of these differences. We have a general definition. We can show that the only wedge classes um, maybe I should have said non-self dual. Which are in delta 0,2 are the following. The following and their dual classes. Namely, the transfinite differences of open sets. Which are the, so what it is, what is it? You take the union for eta less than xi, but with parity opposite to that of xi. Of U eta, U, the U eta open sets minus union for theta less than theta, where U eta for eta less than xi is increasing and is a sequence of open sets. So the minimal eta for which we are an element is in the difference. If the minimal, if it's in the union of the U etas, and if the minimal eta such that the element is in U eta is of parity opposite to that of xi. So now have a kind of generalization. Of the preceding theorem for potentially closed to potentially Dixie. So let see be a countable ordinal, positive. well, if xi is even, there exists a Borel subset of say the square of the Cantor space, such that for all A which is potentially delta 0,3, well, the following are equivalent. Well, first, A is not potentially Dixie. And again, you can find continuous functions. Such that AXC is the preimage of A intersected with the closure of the test. So we have a concrete example for Dixie. And same if Xi is odd. The only thing to change is that in condition one, it's not Dixie but the class of complements. Thank you. So I come back to this natural class of sets, the Borel sets with countable sections. So they are potentially a sigma. So now the only class to look at is the class of G delta, because we've seen the difference here. So what happens with the G delta class? Well, we can find a test also, a concrete example. This time, Borel set in the product of the bare space by itself. But that for all A with countable sections. And here I mean in both directions, horizontal and vertical. So A is not potentially G delta, means that we can find U from the bare space into X and V from the bare space into Y. But here the functions are better. There are homeomorphisms onto their range. That again, B0 is the pre-image of A intersected with the closure of the test. So if we now put all this together, and I will finish with it, with this, we've got some kind of complete result for Borel sets with countable sections. So let gamma be a non-self-dual wedge class. we can find a gamma Borel subset of the square of the bare space. And we can find also a closed set. Well, this will not always be the closure of A gamma, but A gamma is contained in F gamma, such that for all A with countable sections in both directions, the following are equivalent. A is not potentially gamma, if and only if. We can find continuous functions such that A gamma is the pre-image of A on F gamma. Well, and if gamma is self-dual, we can remember we saw it yesterday, how this wedge ordering is. We have a self-dual class here, and then two non-self-dual classes after. So not being here just means not being here or not being here. So we are reduced to this result. Thank you.